The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. We get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. I wrote Intuitive Fasting, The Inflammation Spectrum, Ketotarian, and Gut Feelings. If you want to learn more about our clinical work, the telehealth center, we have brand new, very exciting telehealth patient options for you that are now open, and lots of free resources, like copious amounts of free healthy stuff for you to learn to have agency over your health. Anyways, check it all out at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff every single month, no matter when you listen to this episode. For a chance to win, head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of your review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, my team and I will be going through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves and randomly picking winners. And then I'll reach out to you. What are we giving away? You may be thinking. We're giving away free signed books. We're giving away free supplement stack protocols that we have at drwillcole.com. We're giving away free functional medicine telehealth consults. So if you win, you'll pick what you want and we'll either send it out to you if it's a product or a book, or we will get you scheduled for a telehealth consult. So lots of fun stuff, guys. Good luck. About every single month, we have entire episodes devoted to your exciting, compelling, next-level burning health questions in what we lovingly call Ask Me Anything. And we compile them, we aggregate them all into a Google Doc, and we'll get to as many of them as possible. So continue to submit your questions. All you do to ask us, so you can be added to this infamous Google Doc, is email emilyf, email customer. What are the email? Hello.
Right. Wow, I was right.
I almost gave a patient email for patients. That's not for you all that listen to the podcast. You have to email hello at drwillcole.com, and then you'll get our attention and we'll add it to the Google Doc. So to help me out, every Ask Me Anything episode, I have someone in from the patient team that's on my team at the patient team, and then someone on patient logistic protocol team who works with the patient team and coordinates protocols and logistics with labs and supplement protocols, all that stuff. So on the patient side of things, we have a brilliant functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, Emily M.
Hello.
And then we have another Emily. You have to be named Emily to work at the clinic.
Yeah.
We have Emily F, who's on the patient logistics team, who coordinates with the patient team. She's the one that is going to ask the patient team, Emily, Em, and I, your burning health questions. What's up, Emily?
Hello. I wanted to do a little mirror of what she just did.
It's fine.
All right. So let's jump right into it. A lot of the questions that we pulled from the Google Doc today was around hormone health.
Yeah.
So a lot of you want to know about hormone health, different things you can do on your own, what we recommend, what we see clinically with telehealth patients. So today's going to be more or less centered around hormones and all the aspects of that.
Yeah. Right. Jumping right in. The first question is, would love to hear y'all's take on detox or hormonal body odor and what we can do to get rid of it or maintain fresh pits without using the strong chemical laden deodorants. I recently discovered Curie with the armpit mask and have done the apple cider vinegar and bentonite clay masks too. Both seem to be very short term, only a few days worth of fix.
So they're saying like there's topical things on the market. I don't know the exact ingredients. Emily, do you want to look at the ingredients for Curie?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is, I don't know anything about that brand specifically, but while we're looking up the ingredients, I can give you my hot take on that. When you're talking about BO and products on the outside, obviously from a scent control standpoint, while you're going through these issues, we want to have something that is topically, your body absorbs a lot of this stuff. So you want high quality, safe for human use on the outside, which is a lot of things in the market that I wouldn't recommend that have potential hormone endocrine disruptors or ingredients that aren't really great for humans to take long term, right? What you put on your skin largely being absorbed, as I mentioned, and we almost have to see it as if it's not safe to eat or consume, you really shouldn't be putting it on your skin. Now, there's exceptions to that, right? Not everything's being absorbed, but more or less, we need to realize our skin is one of our largest organs and we need to treat it as such. Now, from my perspective with this, you're talking about hormonal body odor. If somebody has BO and they're saying it's hormonal, right? There can be a hormonal component to it, certainly. And if maybe this person that's asking the question has had labs run to know there's a hormonal component. But hormones are just, they're biochemical, physiological emails, right? So there is, if emails are being sent too much or not enough, imbalanced in some way, that's, what's the larger context of that hormone dysregulation? And oftentimes, you know, hormonal imbalances, they really never happen in a vacuum. There's a larger context to why the hormonal imbalances are there in the first place. So to isolate this as just a hormonal problem, oftentimes hormonal imbalances are a downstream cascade effect. They will cause their own symptoms, right? Because hormonal, they're signaling molecules, right? They are turning on and turning off, upregulating or downregulating different processes in the body. So they have to be addressed. But to fully address them, you have to go upstream of a downstream issue. So one of the things you could consider here is the gut microbiome. And we have what's called the gut-skin axis or the connection. Now, a lot of hormones are metabolized in the gut. So a lot of times when you're dealing with what world would call hormonal BO, or someone may think it's that, hormones are implicated in it and need to be addressed. But what is the reason why the hormonal issues are there in the first place? Well, for many people, not everybody, but many people in this category have an unhealthy gut and maybe some liver detoxification impairments too because of environmental toxins or chronic stress in the body, the nervous system stuck in a sympathetic stress state. So that's impairing detoxification pathways. So my mind would go to how can we support detox pathways through the gut and through the liver and through the skin? So some things to maybe go back and listen to past Ask Me Anything episodes about gut health, about that. You could maybe read Gut Feelings if you want to read Gut Feelings in my book about supporting gut health and the microbiome, mood, axis. We talk a lot about the nervous system and vagal nerve tone there. But some herbs and compounds that support are supportive of the detox pathways that I'd like to support here would be things like N-acetylcysteine or NAC, which is a precursor to glutathione. A milk thistle extract can be really good supporting liver. If you're thinking about hormone detox specifically, also DIM, which is a sulfur compound that could be really helpful here. Quercetin can be great here. Other sulfur compounds can be wonderful as well. Like broccoli extract comes to mind too. Sulforaphane. So that's where my mind would go. Now, labs would be helpful here. But if you're looking at someone subdiagnostically, just looking at hormonal BL, those are some things to consider. And a lot of their mechanisms of action actually is they are modulating things in the gut, which will have a beneficial effect on both the gut and liver. So that's my thoughts. Emily, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would completely agree with you. I think it's really looking at the overall detox pathways. What's the demand on the body? Like, what is really happening within the body? And you're seeing the outpouring of that. You know, you talk about the way the body is sweating and sure, body odor alongside that. Look at how you're digesting foods, though, too, your digestive system. Like, are you having constipation? That's another really important way that the body excretes toxins as well. So again, we talk about that a lot on consultations where we'll ask those questions to get signs and clues as to where someone might be at to give us direction on where to look, which I think is important. And you look at, you know, looking at, you know, something like the Curie mask, like that was brought up, but it doesn't have bad properties to it. I mean, it's got bentonite clay, activated charcoal. Like, these things can be helpful, but you're right. They are short term because you're not looking at the mechanism itself. What are methylation pathways looking like? What's going on within the liver, within the gut? And so I think you hit it spot on, because we have to look inside the body if we really want to see what's happening and the outpouring and how the hormones are affected by that too. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a formula. I don't talk about it on the podcast very much. Many people have asked us over the years, hey, I don't want a functional medicine doctor. I don't need one right now. And I don't want labs run right now. But what are some things I can do on my own? And we released the Art of Being Well supplement line for all of you podcast listeners, honestly, that are asking that question. So we put together things that we would recommend to telehealth patients, but you can do on your own. And there's a formula that has a lot of those detoxification, methylation support, hormonal clearance support. It's called Protect. So just go to drwilkhol.com, go to the supplement, the Art of Being Well supplement line. It's called Protect. You can check it out there. Take about 2 capsules a day. You could dose higher than that, but about 2 capsules a day will do the trick for most people. And give it time and consistency, but we've seen amazing improvement of symptoms with that formula specifically. Yeah, great question.
I do have a quick little question based on something you said. It's not technically about this, but like in specific, but when you said that NAC was the precursor to glutathione, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So the body needs N-acetylcysteine, these sulfur compounds, to make glutathione. So it's okay. The raw material, if you will, the building blocks to which your body builds glutathione, which is the body's master antioxidant. We need it for many different processes in the body.
Hmm. Gotcha. Didn't know that. Learn something new every day.
You know, I've been drinking AG1 for a long time now. And today I've got an extra special offer for you all so you can start optimizing your health right now. For years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. It's just one scoop of AG1. I do it when I get to the telehealth center. It's like an intuitive habit. I don't even have to think about it. But one scoop of AG1, mix it in water. It tastes great once a day, every day. And it makes me feel so energetic. I don't get that PM afternoon slump and energy. It supports my gut health, my immune system as well. Why? It's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, prebiotics, probiotics, and so much more. It's a powerful, powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Think of AG1 like a green superfood, a multivitamin, a multimineral, a probiotic blend, an adaptogen blend, and a functional mushroom blend all in one. They are freely optimized and excelled in foundational nutrition. Like, what is the most important key nutrients that the human body needs to thrive? And that's what they do with just one scoop of AG1. AG1 is not just something that I take, but it's something that I recommend to my family, my friends, and to my telehealth patients. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2. You get a whole year supply of that. And for a limited time, you'll get 10 free AG1 travel packs. Yes, that's 10 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/WillCole. That's drinkag1.com/WillCole. Check it out while this offer lasts. One of the most overlooked, but yet extremely influential factor when it comes to human health, it is the products that you're using in your home. What I would really encourage you is to take inventory and educate yourself on the ingredients in the cleaning products and the laundry detergent and other laundry products you're using in your home. Look at the labels, educate yourself on the ingredients. If you're not being intentional with being non-toxic in that area, I think you're going to be shocked. A brand that I've recommended for years for patients around the world is Branch Basics. They are non-toxic, they're hypoallergenic, they're free of fragrance, free of hormone disruptors and harmful preservatives. They are baby and kid and pet safe, clean, and they're cost effective. Their premium starter kit is what I recommend. If you're new to Branch Basics, check out their premium starter kit. The starter kit will provide you with everything you need to replace all of your toxic cleaning products in your home. They have this brilliant refill model. Once you run out, the only thing you need to repurchase is the concentrate and the oxygen boost. If you suffer from eczema, allergies, or asthma, make the switch to Branch Basics. And I would also add, if you struggle with autoimmune issues, hormonal, metabolic issues, fatigue, other inflammatory issues, make the switch to Branch Basics now. Save 15% on your starter kit or their new gel hand soap when you use code TAOBW at branchbasics.com. Again, that is code TAOBW for 15% off when you purchase a starter kit or their new gel hand soap.
So this next one, it also starts with would love to hear. So everyone loves to hear from us. Would love to hear an episode on HIIT exercises or high intensity interval training exercises and the related cortisol levels and fat loss. I've been hearing a lot that these workouts can raise cortisol and lead to not being able to lose weight. Is this true? Could you please go over what exercise is best for fat loss?
All right. So this is part of the issue, right? That we have in our dualistic mindset about things, especially when it comes to the human body, is that we see endogenous natural things as inherently bad. Like inflammation, we'll say, is bad. You will look at hormones, you'll say cortisol is bad, right? It's not bad inherently. It's subject to the Goldilocks principle, right? The homeostasis. It's not too high, not too low, but just right. So a lot of the benefits of certain things come from a temporal state in which you can get benefits, but the dose makes the poison, as they say. And that's the whole concept around hormesis or hermetic effects on the body. So many people have, in the research world, have put things like high intensity interval training or HIIT training, which is more intense, short term, higher heart rate, intense exercise, right? With recovery periods in between, but short bursts, have put that under that hormetic category. Same with infrared sauna or different types of sauna or cold therapy, cold plunging, or fasting, or the ketogenic diet, which is fasting mimicking. All those are hormetic effects on the body. A good stress, and the history of the concept of hormesis comes from an ancient king, I forget which area, the Black Sea region somewhere, and it was, the legend goes, I don't know if it's substantiated by history, but the sort of concept of it that then informed medicine, really, these concepts of small doses being the cure, but big doses being the poison, is this king knew that he was being poisoned by his mother, which if you know anything about royal history, there was lots of familial murder going on. And he would take, the legend goes, is that the king would take low doses of this poison just as insurance, as a preventative to being actual poisoned. And he wasn't poisoned. So when he actually got poisoned, he didn't die because he built up that. And that's the whole concept of vaccines, the whole concept of many homeopathic medicine, which is like a low dose of the irritant to create an immune system result. So there's a lot of ways that that concept is used within healthcare and medicine. So same in a different way, it's you're kind of creating this inner resilience by putting the body under these micro-stressed states. And the dose matters. So to then say, well, cortisol elevated equals bad is a very reductive way to look at it, because a lot of the research looking at the benefits of things like fasting is actually, cortisol is coming up because it's that hormetic effect, but then it comes back down. So you don't want cortisol always being high, but times of stress can make the body more resilient. And it's mimicking it from an ancestral health standpoint. Humans would have been in times of stress. If they were like going through times of not eating or times of running away from a predator or another, you know, warring faction tribe, you needed that to survive. But you don't always want to be in that stress state. So what does the research show here? HIIT training, typically we're talking about these high intensity exercises that last between 10 and 30 minutes. One study looked at, it was a small study, but it looked at, it showed that HIIT burned 25 to 30% more calories per minute than other types of exercise, including weight training, cycling, running on a treadmill. Other studies have shown that it's really great at burning belly fat specifically, like fat around the midsection. It's been shown to improve cardiometabolic markers. I don't think that that's all you should be doing. You should be doing weight training, which technically you could do some HIIT training with weights, which I definitely do. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about long traditional weight training should be put throughout your week. And depending on your goals and your body and your cardiometabolic baseline, putting in a small handful of HIIT training throughout the week can be beneficial for you. Is that all you have to do? Is that work for everybody? No, it's not necessary. But cortisol being high is not the reason why you wouldn't want to do it. Why wouldn't I want someone to do HIIT training? It's not the cortisol effect. Why I wouldn't want to is someone's joints. If somebody has, you know, arthritis, degenerative joint issues, putting a lot of high intensity constantly, if they're dealing with chronic injuries, I would be definitely judicious with advising someone to do HIIT training. Someone that's doing a little something more sustainable, enjoyable, not going to so much wear and tear in their body is where my mind would go. So it's slow weight training, progressive weight training throughout as a main go-to may be what I would recommend. Something restorative like yoga could be something beneficial here. And then I've talked about it on the podcast a few times, but zone two exercise, which we recommend to every telehealth patient, depending on their fitness level, but working up to 3 hours a week is what we'd really love for a zone two exercise, which is this low intensity, the opposite of HIIT training. It's someone walking on a treadmill. We have our walking desks here at the clinic. We're walking. I mean, I walk half my day or more.
Yeah, you're doing like a full-on marathon here.
I remember the first time you did that. We went on a walk at work the next day. You're like, I actually have to sit this one out.
Yeah. I mean, I walk a lot and it's zone two exercise for people that are aware of the research. It's something you can do for hours on end. You're not going to be too much winded. You can talk. The talk test is a good way for you to know if you're in that zone two. It's actually based on your heart rate. But if you want to be more or less in the ballpark, it's someone that you're able to move your body, like think of walking, and that's been shown to be wonderful for your metabolism, metabolic flexibility, decreasing metabolic problems, right? Someone's dealing with insulin resistance, metabolic inflexibility. Zone two exercise is a wonderful way, and it's very good on your joints. It's very easy on your joints. If you're dealing with back issues or knee issues or hip issues, you can do this more sustainably. So but I'm not worried about the cortisol spike because it's temporary for HIIT training. So don't be afraid of cortisol. Cortisol is an endogenous immunosuppressant. It's a natural anti-inflammatory. So it's a compensatory mechanism in that hormetic state. And you want it to come up, but then you want it to come down. So hopefully that clears things up.
Yeah. And I really think too, we get this question a lot with patients that we're working with one-on-one, like, you know, hey, I've been doing this. Is this the right method of physical activity for me? And understanding and just remembering too, that what works for someone else may not work for you. I know that seems like such a simple answer, but you know, I think it is important to see where your body is at. And maybe it is something for a time that we do have to focus more on, like the mindful movements or things like that as we're healing chronic stressors on the body. But that doesn't mean that it's never going to work. And it doesn't mean that it's, you know, always going to be the best thing for you too. I think it's really remembering what serves your body best at the end of the day, how you feel. Again, you know, when we're working with people, we sometimes do have to make changes and shifts, but physical activity is important for the body. It is important for healing. It is going to be beneficial. It is going to help with how your body functions. And so I think that we need to, I think that sometimes we can get so obsessed with some of these factors and cortisol and these different, you know, markers and say, oh, this is going to be bad for me. But we can't just put a label on it like that because again,
the body's more complex than just cortisol equals bad.
Yeah.
And we need cortisol. And the dose makes the context matters around that. And I think that's a great point. And also the fact that we have such an most Americans are so sedentary. Move your dang body.
You can use a little bit of it.
Yes, like it's all right. It's all right. Like move. You're thinking way too far in advance. It's like, well, maybe if someone's obsessed with HIIT training and doing too much for their body, that's a very small percentage of people in the United States.
Yeah, we're so obsessed with calming the cortisol, but at the same time, it's like
maybe a body needs to be under a little bit of movement stress.
Yeah,
and it can help with mind psychological stress.
Yeah,
moving your body can really release a lot of tension and psychic energy, right? The mental emotional stress. So yeah, the context matters here. Whoever's asking that question, but I would say statistically, America would do better with more HIIT training, not only, but as part of their exercise tools within their toolbox. And then marry that with maybe zone two and definitely weight training. A mixture of all those and some restorative yoga stuff. And just if you have more, depending on your goals and your baseline, vacillate those different sections of exercise accordingly.
Yeah. So this is why when we go on like work trips or we have breaks in the office, this is why you make us do the strength training workouts.
Yeah. It's fun.
Womp womp. I like that zone too.
Yeah, I know. It's like picking up heavy. What the heck? Mama's tired. All right.
Okay. All right. There is tons of wellness suggestions floating around on the internet on what to do to support your hormones as a cycling or a non-cycling female. What would you say are the core labs to run for a cycling female with hormonal issues? And what about peri/postmenopausal? What if someone doesn't want to do labs? Do you have supplement suggestions?
Okay. So let's do labs and supplements for each, whether you have a menstrual cycle or you are perimenopausal or postmenopausal. Labs for cycling women could be as simple as some blood tests to look at some hormone markers, some just human markers like thyroid hormones could be a good idea because that influences menstrual cycle. The thyroid, every cell of your body has a thyroid receptor site. So looking at thyroid health thinking of it, the commonality, like it's so common to see some either under conversion of thyroid hormones. So looking at the health of the thyroid because the body hormones are so interconnected and one hormonal issue can get other problems. So looking at the thyroid just from a universality of it all, looking at liver function, so AST, ALT, some liver detoxification markers, looking at your blood sugar, insulin, leptin, which are our other hormones. These are not female hormones. They're just human hormones. But I feel like there's so many people that have issues there that's impacting things like estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. So you have to understand that sort of liver, cardiometabolic, and thyroid section of things to understand a little bit better, not the totality of it, but a little bit better the context of why maybe estrogen and progesterone and testosterone are off. And then I would lump cortisol in that too. So you're looking at the symphony of hormones here and understanding, well, one can beget other issues. Now, female hormones specifically, some blood tests can be helpful. Running like sex hormone binding globulin is a good biomarker to consider via blood. Because if you have high sex hormone binding globulin, that's basically it captures, if you will, the hormones, which can make it unusable. So the free form of the hormone will be low if you have high SHBG. Things like stress, inflammation, underlying gut problems, cardiometabolic issues can spike sex hormone binding globulin. So I want to run some blood markers and then what's called a Dutch test or a dried urine test. It'd be a combination of a urine and saliva test that would look at female hormones in depth. So looking all the estrogen, progesterone, isomers, metabolites, different versions of the hormones, looking at cortisol rhythm throughout the day, which we know will influence these things, looking at testosterone levels and all the androgen metabolites as well, and looking at the full thorough context of your hormones and not reducing your hormones to just one biomarker. You're more complex than that. And what can really be helpful if women have cycle issues, the irregular cycles, painful periods, you may want to consider doing a full menstrual cycle test. You're collecting urine for your entire cycle. Or you have amenorrhea, you don't have a period. You could run some of these tests too to kind of see where are my hormones at and why am I not getting a period. So depending if you do a full cycle or just one day, we can get a more thorough perspective with these more advanced functional medicine labs that we run. That's what I'd say diagnostically for cycling women. And some, I mean, I'll say this. There's not one magic herb. There's not one magic supplement. There's supplements that have amazing research behind them by themselves. And that's why research needs to be done in this area. But oftentimes, it's going to be a combination of different cofactors that gets you the best results. And that's what we have found and what many physicians in our space will tell you. So what are some things that I would recommend for women that are looking for female hormone balance? One comes to mind would be white peony, which isn't talked about as much. Maybe I'll talk about some that are less talked about. Then Emily can throw some that she likes too. There's white peony. It's called Bai Shao. In traditional Chinese medicine, there are several studies. There's one 2019 meta-analysis, kind of a look at all the research done, found that it's structurally similar to estrogen, but has a modulating effect. So it's not like a hormone replacement therapy. It's just where you're getting a lot of exogenous excess hormones. These herbs oftentimes have a weaker balancing effect on the body. So it's a more natural utilizing what your body already has, but works on receptor site activity, works on conversion, so your body can make good use of what it's already producing, has a balancing effect on the body. White peony also has been shown to decrease serotonin transporter, the SERT serotonin transporter pathway, which can bind to serotonin, which we know a happy neurotransmitter, right? 95% of that's made in the gut. So it actually activates or it frees up more free serotonin, which we know in the gut, especially it works on vagal nerve tone, which a lot of people have poor vagal tone. So the mechanism of action for white peony seems to be this sort of gut-brain axis modulating with, you need a healthy gut-brain axis, a healthy vagal nerve tone to then help the hypothalamic pituitary ovarian axis and getting more of that parasympathetic tone there. And there's another study that found that white peony is also increases probiotics in the gut. Another sign that really how it's helping us, it's working on that gut-brain hormonal axis, which I think is pretty cool. So let's go with that. There's other traditional Chinese medicines that we like in blends like berpluum, which works on detoxification pathways too. So let's go with those. Chaseberry is another one that I love.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Chaseberry, Vitex, works on modulating estrogen, progesterone levels in the body too. So I would say Vitex or Chaseberry would be another thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I would even say dandelion root as well, I think is a great thing because one, it's rich in so many vitamins and minerals, which is going to be incredibly helpful just replenishing the body. I mean, things like B vitamins, copper, calcium, zinc, iron. So again, replenishing minerals that the body is losing is incredibly important. And also dandelion, I think one of the main things people really understand about it too is it's known, and there's research studies that show how it can upregulate phase two detoxification, and it's supporting the liver, it's flushing out toxins. And there's also some small studies that have shown the support of healthy bacteria growth as well too. So I think that that is a really cool one to talk about as well. And then red raspberry leaf, which I think we talk a lot more about within pregnancy because it can tone the uterus and prepare the uterus for labor and delivery, but it's actually really helpful for just, you know, regulating cycle as well too. And so I think that that's something that we've seen more and more mm-hmm. in blends too, because of how it is toning the uterus, of how it's helping shed throughout the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Are you tired of feeling tired? Do you always hit the snooze, then slam your head straight back on the pillow? With all the problems you have to take care of at work, at home, with your family, with your friends, it's no wonder you feel so tired. You take care of a lot of different things. But if you really stop to think about it, who takes care of you? Magnesium Breakthrough is an all-natural supplement that helps you reduce fatigue and sleep more peacefully. It even strengthens muscles and improves your heart and your brain function. While most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of all seven essential types of magnesium. Imagine having the strength and energy to get out of bed every morning and face the day boldly and courageously, to be able to show up as your best self and keep that energy up throughout the day and into the night. So if you want to feel more energized and get the best night's sleep you've ever had in maybe forever, check out buyoptimizers.com/WillCole. In addition to the discount you get by using promo code WillCole, that's code WILLCOLE, you can get gifts with your purchase. You can get up to 2 travel-sized bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. Act fast. This is a limited time offer, guys. So go now to buyoptimizers.com/WillCole. Again, that is buyoptimizers.com/WillCole. You'll be amazed how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough.
This is Amanda Hirsch from the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast. You might know me from Not Skinny But Not Fat on Instagram, where I spend my time talking about reality TV, celebrities, everything happening in pop culture every Tuesday, okay? I also talk to some of our favorite celebs and reality TV stars. We talk about what's going on. Tune in every Tuesday and just feel like you're talking with your best friends in your living room.
Going back, I pulled up a study that looked at Chaseberry or Vitex. This is a study, a trial looked at over 100 women, so semi-larger study. More than half the patients treated with Chaseberry for over 6 days, for 6 consecutive menstrual cycles, experienced significantly reduced breast pain and tenderness, edema or swelling, like basically what people would notice as quote-unquote inflammation in the body. Constipation, so digestive issues, irritability, so mood issues, depressed moods improved, migraines improved. So again, there's studies that are shown to look at the efficacy of why something should be included in a blend. But a lot of these traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, herbalist blends, you would not just do one herb per se. You right. can, there's certain instances where you want to get a therapeutic dose at a higher dose to not have a blend. But I for a synergistic effect of these herbs, I like blends.
Yeah.
So those are something to consider. If you could run labs, it could be both and not either or here. Like, we would recommend those based on labs. But what's really cool is these, you don't necessarily need labs because these have a detoxification, modulating, balancing effect right. on the body. That's cycling. We didn't get to perimenopausal. But do you have a question, Emily?
I do. It actually kind of piggybacks right off of what you just said. But I feel like more now than ever before, like, you hear so much about women having these like horrifying cycles and these horrifying symptoms, and they're like super painful. Like, that is that a sign in itself of a hormonal imbalance? Because I've been seeing, and I don't know the research behind it or anything, so I don't know if you have any insight, but I've been seeing that that's not normal. And even though it's common, it's not normal.
Yeah, it's not normal. And you're right. That's a great point, because I think a lot of people, that's all they know. That's the cycle they've only known. And they just normalize that. But horribly painful periods, heavy periods are not normal. They're just ubiquitous. And it's these are check engine lights that we need to educate ourselves about our body. And to know, just because you, it's your everyday, doesn't mean you should settle for it. And it may be a sign when you're talking about excess estrogen levels in the body because you're not detoxing. These blends that I'm talking about here, that Emily M and I are talking about, is we're supporting detox pathways and then modulating with herbs that help to balance. And by modulating, I mean balancing. So balancing and then clearance. Those are the main summarizing like a mechanism of action that I'm talking about with a lot of these combination blends.
And you know, Em, like when we're talking with women on consultations too, I find that we have to do a lot more digging than what's your cycle like? Because you could start out just say, what's your cycle like? And someone will say, oh, it's really regular. But you know, they don't automatically start off with, it's awful. I have these terrible headaches and I'm so fatigued and I'm moody, you know, 5 days leading up to and the first two days. And it's, you know, I'm dealing with all of this blood clots and these issues. They don't really start off with that. They usually just say, oh, it's really, really regular. And sure, maybe you are having it every 27 days to 32 days. Right. But at the same time, I usually have to dig for those types of answers from people, because it's not like the first thing that comes to mind, because that's been their normal for so long that it's not like something they necessarily feel they always have to tell.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. I don't know, Dr. Cool, if you see that too, but I find that I have to like really say, okay, so when you mean regular, you mean that you just are getting it every month from this day to this day. Like what is the actual, you know, leading up to it during menstruation? Like, you know, what symptoms are you experiencing? Because otherwise it's just a normal thing to them.
Yeah.
And that I think is really a lot more prevalent. And I think I will say, I think the awareness around it is so much more too, where women really are starting to be like, okay, this is definitely not normal. And whether that's, you know, whether the sluggishness or motivation is due to mineral loss, whether it's due to detoxification issues, it's probably a combination of these things. It's, you know, there's a lot more going on within the body than just one thing, which is why blends are really helpful and why labs are really helpful, because ultimately we need to see what's causing the imbalance itself.
Yeah.
But I would say that we do have to really dig, because there are still women who aren't tracking cycles and maybe don't even understand what a regular cycle is supposed to look like too.
Which, like you said, it's a range.
It's a range.
It's you said 27, 32 days, like around that time.
Yeah.
You tracking your menstrual cycle. And sometimes when I say, well, how long is your menstrual cycle? They'll say 4 days or 5 days. And they mean this, their period. It's way more than that. We want to look at your period. Severity, like how heavy is it? How painful of it? How's your mood during that? But what's the rest of your cycle look like too?
Yeah.
And really looking at that full context of it.
You know, even talking about ovulation, I don't think many, you know, at least women that I've talked to, even friends that I've talked to, it's like, do you know that you're ovulating? Do you know the signs of ovulation? Are you dealing with pain in the middle of your cycle? Like there's so many other signs outside of just that menstruation time too, that we can see hormonal imbalances or not as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to answer the second part of your question, perimenopausal. So if you're around that phase of life, which is completely normal, but if you're noticing things like hot flashes, mood changes, energy changes, difficulty losing weight, changes in your cycle, and some herbs that I like here that are typically in blends, again, isoflavones, which are basically from soy compounds, which I think it's a bad rap. The compound isoflavones extracted from soy, it's not GMO soy, but it's just the isoflavone compound has a nice modulating effect on estrogen receptor sites, which can help things like hot flashes, the severity and frequency of hot flashes in a gentler way. And there's a place for hormone replacement therapy, but these herbal botanical plant compounds can be very helpful for people as a first round of like foundational support. And you may not even need hormone replacement therapy when you are perimenopausal. These herbs may be enough for you if the dose is appropriate for you. Black cohosh is another one that comes to mind that has a lot of exciting studies around female hormone. It's not just perimenopausal. Honestly, black cohosh can be used for menstrual cycle regulation for people with PCOS as well, people with fibroids. Shows that there's one study that shows it can decrease the size of uterine fibroids by up to 30%. This is a 3-month study that looked at women. This was actually postmenopausal women that had fibroids. But there's a lot of ways that something like black cohosh, I really, really love for hot flashes specifically.
Yeah.
This one study looked at just 8 weeks of taking black cohosh significantly reduced the severity and frequency of hot flashes after they started taking the supplement. So again, I love blends here, but black cohosh stands out as far as one of my favorites as far as the research is concerned. How about you, Em?
Yeah, I would even say Don Quai as an herb to help with hot flashes too. There's a really cool study in talking about blends. There's a really cool study that found a mixture of that with German chamomile reduced the frequency and intensity of hot flashes by up to 96%, which I think is, again, you know, you're looking at the benefits of this herb, and it has more than just balancing or reducing these symptoms. You know, it's used for depression, for constipation, but I think that's such a cool study to look at. I also found studies of how it can prevent osteoporosis by building up and strengthening the bones, which we know, especially in that season of life, is incredibly important. The prevalence of osteoporosis, osteopenia among menopausal women is huge. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's another thing that, you know, we may not be thinking about as much, but we really work with women on as well, especially in that season of life. And so that herb is a really cool herb to support that has antidepressant properties. There've been studies to show that as well. And then another one that comes to mind is the Korean ginseng. So that's, I think, a really cool herb as well, that there's been research that it can increase libido, sex drive, improve mood, and just a general sense of well-being. So they're doing a lot of different studies on that. There's actually studies too that are showing that it can possibly help stimulate the nervous system, enhance cognitive performance.
Because it's an adaptogen.
Yeah.
So it's a Korean ginseng, and there's other types of ginseng too, but it works on that hypothalamic pituitary endocrine axis, which is really good for whoever you are. But I've seen studies that works on estrogen receptor sites, modulating receptor sites in a positive way, and helps with cortisol too.
Yeah.
Which can be helpful here. Yeah. I love Korean ginseng. I love ashwagandha for hormone balance too. People think of it as just a adrenal axis issue, but it's not. It can have a modulating effect because it's really working on that neuroendocrine axis. Just like Korean ginseng does, so does ashwagandha. A lot of the things that Em and I are talking about, we have in Stacks too on the Art of Being Well supplement line. For people that don't want labs or can't get labs right now, then just go to drwillcole.com, go to the shop, go to the Art of Being Well supplement line. There's hormonal stacks that I put together for you all that have a lot of these in them. Actually, all of these in there. I also have something for the nervous system because it's so important. Magnesium deficiency is so ubiquitous here. So I put a magnesium GABA energic combination that supports GABA, which is the anti-anxiety parasympathetic pathway, basically. So good question.
I have a silly but quick question. Yeah. So sometimes we see younger patients with postmenopausal hormone levels. So in that case, if they're young but not cycling and they're having these hormone levels, would it matter which of these like groupings that we talked about that they would lean towards, or would they still lean towards like what they're supposed to be doing?
You would.
Do you know what I mean?
You would more. That's a great question. So we clinically, what Emily's saying is because we see a lot of people that aren't having their periods even than they should be.
Right.
They're maybe coming off of birth control and they have post birth control syndrome, for lack of a better word. I mean, they just are not getting their period back after coming off of birth control, and they're trying to get pregnant or just regulate their hormones in a normal way, normal human way, or they have some sort of chronic nervous system stress, unresolved trauma, emotional trauma they have some autoimmune problem that's putting their body in that sympathetic tone that's causing amenorrhea or no period, or they have things, other specific female hormone autoimmune issues like endometriosis that's really painful or irregular, adenomyosis, or they have PCOS. I could go on and on and on. Or mold toxicity. Why didn't I say that? Mold toxicity. Yeah. Many times these biotoxin issues will suppress hormones. So you run the tests that I talked about, the blood test, the Dutch test, they're going to look postmenopausal and they're in their 20s or they're in their 30s. They're not postmenopausal. So we want to deal with why the amenorrhea is there. So that's kind of my point when I said earlier is that why are the emails being sent or not sent in this case in the first place? So female like adaptogenic support can be beneficial here. Modulating effect can be beneficial because we're just supporting the neuroendocrine axis, but that's not going to be the only tool within your toolbox.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, you know, to answer your question, Em, is that yes, you want to support what should be happening, mm-hmm. but there's clearly something greater going on that has to be addressed.
Yeah, so it should be paired with whether nervous system regulation, supporting gut health, dealing with the environmental toxin or the biotoxin issue. There has to be larger context. Mm-hmm. And that's why we always say, like, supplements can absolutely, I've seen people go in supplement formulas and their cycle really does come back and absolutely regulates off of a supplement blend alone. But normally it's, you cannot supplement your way out of a larger context. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tool, but not the only tool within your toolbox.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
So I think that's a good summary of questions. You know, I think the people that ask these questions, we do get asked those questions a lot. Mm-hmm. So thank you for submitting them. All right, guys, anything else before we go? I think it's a good.
And that's it. Love you all. That's all I got.
All right, guys. If you want to learn more about all the things we talked about, go to drrealcool.com. We have lots of free resources, like endless articles I've written with all the links to PubMed for you to geek out. And all the different blends we talked about are there too. All right. See you next time. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.